Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable.
Instigator's emerged. Britannia's back in the inside. Instigator, Stern Idol. Stern Idol fight. Instigator, Stern Idol. The big boy's fighting like a lion. Stern Idol all the way. Brave.
Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Keep it in, start it. This is our fucking shit tonight's feed. Just fucking start.
It is currently 10:06 PM. We've got Nick Mugwalter back on the podcast tonight.
Bake him off the fucking long run.
And he's mute. He's already cut me off. He's gone out for dinner.
Hold on a second. Punters, there was no, all right, let's go, 3, 2, 1. There was none of that.
I said, are we ready?
Fucking vanish. Yeah, there was no 3, 2, 1.
Are we ready? Is that not good enough?
It's not routine, Benjamin.
So here's the story. I get home from football training usually at 8:45. Sometimes it's 9. We start the podcast straight away. Nico's decided to go out for dinner on his return podcast. Hasn't been on for a month. Tips two winners tonight. Over the sticks, and he thinks that he can just tell us at 8:45 PM that he's out for dinner, and he won't be joining us until 10 PM.
Yeah, whilst we're fully expecting to start in like the next 5 to 10 minutes.
This is outrageous behaviour, Nick. As I said in the group chat just then, if this was a footy trip, you'd be naked on a leash, locked up with a gag in your mouth.
I was actually out drowning my sorrows after Duke of Bedford somehow got beat and we didn't clean sweep him. So yeah. I was drowning my sorrows. Wasn't celebrating like I should have been. But anywho, I'm back.
Well done. Well, I'm sure lots of punters are excited to have you back on, and that's the reason why Bot and I couldn't just go ahead and say, fuck you, we're doing the podcast without you. So
would have liked to.
At least you know that you've got a few fans out there, and that's why we couldn't start this podcast until after 10 PM.
Well, it's good to see that a few people out there have got their little envelope in the mail.
The good thing about you being so late is I got to watch the whole Carlton game and Port Adelaide Pretenders. Carlton up by 36 points. You can shove that where the sun don't shine. What do they sing? Never Tear Us Apart. Well, we tore them an absolute new, you know what.
I'm actually going to the Essendon Carlton game next week, and there's every chance that I'm going to end up in a blue.
Yeah, well, that's a big game, isn't it? That is a very big game.
Well,
you can go with
I've got one more person I'm putting the sword through.
Who is it?
And Bot's not going to like this one.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
TB. Terry Bailey. 3 times in the last 2 weeks, calling the wrong horses home. He did it again tonight.
Which race?
Race 7 Pakenham. He called Proprietary, which was the $4.80 second leg, mind you. He called it Pepino, which was the $12 horse, ran second. And then after the about 100 metres past the line, the guys must have said something in the mic, said, "You've got the wrong horse here, champ." But anyway, we love TB, but when does a joke stop becoming funny?
I'm not going to
The one the other week was worse.
Oh, the Shane Fleedner one.
No comment. He's my favourite of the Golden Tonsils, but yeah.
I haven't listened to the call yet, but he declared that Miss Rubini or whatever it was tonight, every man and their dog was tipping it. I haven't gone back and watched the replay, but it only lost by about half a length, but he declared it an absolute certainty. So I would love to
I don't mind when he declares one. But as a race caller, you have to call the race accurately. And to be honest, some of these colours have been very similar, or they've been the same stable when he's got the wrong caps, etc. But it's your job to get it right. And there are lots of good race callers sitting on the bench, not getting a turn. TB, I don't know. I reckon there's only a few lives left. But we'll soon find out.
Get him as a host or something. He's a gun at it.
No, he is a very good host.
Tuesdays with Terry is quality listening.
Absolutely. It's the same as what Greg Miles did when when he was starting to get a little bit long in the tooth in the callers box. But anyway.
That's why you hear a lot of race callers, they say they don't like to bet when they're calling because they try and take the emotion out of it. Like Rick especially, he'll only have sort of like one or two bets maximum if he's calling because he goes, "I don't want the emotion to come in it." Unless it was Elvison the other week. That was quality.
Absolutely. All right. Shall we go into racing? Let's go to Caulfield first. We'll start where we usually do. We have changed it up a little bit, but
this is grim.
To go to sleep. So,
what's grim?
You can't have many bets at this joint. Caulfield.
Why is it grim? Are you saying the meeting's bad, or are you saying the track's bad?
Well, probably everything.
The meeting's good, I thought.
Of course you did.
Like
I've not missed this.
This is good. It's a good meeting, I thought. I was happy with it.
Of course. Of course you were. Anyway, go on. Give us the scratchings.
Will, rail out 9 metres. What do you think of that? Was it true last
time? It was true the last meeting.
So this is very tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky because obviously they were railing the true last time and like they were coming really wide on the track. Like for reference, I've got Shock 'Em Over. He was in the seventh widest lane at the 400 meters and he got all the way out to the 16th widest lane. So I have no idea what the track might do. It might be fence off. It might be sort of, you might want to be fence in run and then edge off. Like I don't really know. I'm like in the shoot races, maybe I'm going to prefer horses that are drawn out. I think that's the way I'm sort of leaning, but, like 1400 meters, I sort of want to still be drawn in ish. I don't know. I'll see how the track's playing. Like, I'm not going to, like, if I've backed something that's, like I'm not going to walk into a stupid bet like, and like don't follow what I say blindly. Like if I say I'm going to back something that's drawn barrier one and like the fence is obviously not the place to be, then I'm probably not going to back it. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right, with that in mind, let's go straight to race 3. Is that where you want to start?
Yeah, race 3. I want to be on do you want to do the market and stuff first?
No, we're on the clock.
Okay.
Just tell us you're back.
It's bedtime, I'll do it then. So we've got Episodic as favorite. No, I'm not going to do this anyway. Episodic is favorite. It's actually a full sister to Bermudez, who's a nice enough horse.
No one cares.
Yeah, no one cares. Sure. It was over with Chris Waller in Sydney. Didn't do a whole lot. Clark and O'Shea have got it. This preparation has turned into a different horse. It's gone bang, bang, and bang. The sectionals have been large and came home about 10 above last 800 metres. Like, it just sort of resurrected itself out of, like, it looked like it was just going nowhere, but it just sprinted. It was a big, massive win last time, and that was at 1250. I think 1400 metres is a massive plus for the horse. You know, it's by Tavistock, and it's Bermudez has gotten out over 10 furlongs to 1700 metres. So, you know, I think 1400 metres is a massive positive. Damien Lane jumps on from Kayla Crowther. I don't think it'll be too far away. Might be leaders back, might be three back the fence. I'm not too stressed. Yeah, as I said, they're probably going to fan out, and I think this horse is probably good enough to win anyway. I think the horse I want to probably chop on, they've backed it now. I noticed I was looking at $10 and thinking about it, but Arcana, who I backed at 26 is the, like, what, 3-4 weeks ago now, whatever it was, and it was scratched there. I think, like, it ran massive splits against the sort of pattern of the day, and I thought it could run a big race, an improving race. I think it's got lots of talent. So if I get sort of $10 it, then I'll chop on it. But yeah, main bet Episodic. I think it should be clearly favorite over Princess Raya. I think Princess Raya is, like, this is Princess Raya's level. I don't think she's much better than it. I think Episodic's like one of those bets where you're backing it to do something. It could be a whole lot better than what it's done so far. And the splits say yes. And I think going up in trip and the jockey change, it's all sort of, it's a box ticker. I think you can make it 250 to 280, sort of somewhere around there. And I think the market will edge towards that sort of price if the track isn't cast on the inside. So I'm pretty happy with that bet. I've taken 350. I think 340 is the best price now. So I you know, like, unless you want to wait for the day and have some more information, I just kind of think this would be off the map, to be honest. So I just wanted to back the horse in early. And I don't have a much. Yeah, I wanted to back the horse early.
Sweet. Princess Raya, well named. By Kingman out of Raya, a mare, rhymes with Princess Leia. I really like that one. All right, let's move on.
You're
to
a simple man,
four.
Benny.
There's a benchmark 78 fillies and mares 1,100 metres. But when Star Wars came out, you weren't even conceived.
Oh,
so
mate, my, I don't, yeah. That was like, well, like, that was like 40 years before I was born.
Jewelry, $4 favorite from Heart of Glass, 480. Here Comes the Star, 850. Alvarinho from Tassie, $9. Luna Cat, $10. And I choose you for the Tiakau team's $14.
Yeah, I reckon this is my best bet at this point. I think I really like Jewelry. I think it's one of those, it's like my sort of bet. You know, you've got, it was a smart stable, put it in some in nice races early as a two-year-old. It sort of had some issues. It was taken away. It was 300 days between runs after its first preparation. It was that horse that ran behind Philosopher, and it ran massive splits at Caulfield on debut. I always remembered I wanted to follow this horse, but you know, it obviously didn't run for another 300 days, and it returned and it had that preparation. It was sort of that base level, and then it returned this preparation and went to a really good level, running some really nice splits, and then sort of raced again second up and got out to 1300 meters. It's back to 1100 again today, which is sort of some concern. Maybe I would have liked an extra sort of week between runs, maybe, but you know, like, it, I want to back the stable in, like, and the stable is in particularly good form at the moment. James Cummings is 14 from his last 50. You know, he's beating the market, 1.3 wins over the market expectation. You know, like, for a stable that goes that good, you know, it's not often they, like, you know, it's winning at 28% and still beating the market. It's a fair effort. Yeah. So I want to back it. I think it's more like a $3 chance. I think it'll be drawn in the right place versus the track. I think there's a bit of speed on here, and I think it'll just sort of sit off it and go past them. I think it might run a new peak, And there's a lot of these that are first up, and I think this is the horse that's in the I think it's the best horse in the race, and it's still going on to better things, and it's third up, and it's Godolphin in, and Godolphin's in some sort of form, and Daniel Stackhouse is riding. I'm not sure why Damien Lane isn't riding, and I would have liked this would be like a 320 chance if like with the plastics.
Probably just already booked.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's interesting though because he's riding for Tiako, I think. Mm. So maybe he's sort of.
James Cummings' recent win strike rate 28% for his last 50.
Yeah,
so that's huge.
Yeah.
This horse reminds me of that other. What was that other Godolphin horse? That's been a bit of a frustration to punters, but has that massive figure. Kin.
Yeah.
Big Kin vibes.
Yeah, I sort of thought the same thing. I think it might be better than Kin, but
Big call.
Oh, it's not really that big of a call. I think it's a nice filly.
Fair enough. All right, happy to move on.
Yeah.
Let's go to the fifth. It is a benchmark 78 over 1,200 metres. Buse, 550 favourite. Ballinger, 6. Prancing Spirit, 650. Is it me? Can he bounce back? 750. He was a bit disappointing at the Bull last time, but shifty ground. Mars Mission, 950. BL Bay, $10. Who are you backing here, mate?
Well, not a super confident bet, but I wanted to back Prancing Spirit, I think. This is one where I'm still on the fence about. I'm not going to have this bet now. I'm going to wait until Saturday. I think that's probably the smartest thing to do at this point. I think this horse is set to run a peak. It was obviously disadvantaged by the way the track played last time. It drew two, and that's just, you had to be sort of drawn widest or else you had no chance. It was obviously in the wrong part of the track and was held up and probably should have tested Who Dares in the Vobis Gold Sprint, who obviously won again. His peak rating would probably go somewhere. If he runs his peak rating, I think he should be favourite. But, you know, I think he's set to run to that level. And Buse, I think, if the track's favouring the horses sort of drawn wide, I think Buse will start favorite and I'll end up making Buse's favorite. But yeah, like there's a couple other horses here, like Rogue Rocker can run a race. First Mate can run a race. I noticed it's been well supported early. I wanted to be against Ballinger because I just sort of thought it's just one of those horses that are dictated to by pace of races. And I don't think there's a massive amount of speed in this race. So, and that was half the reason I wanted to be with Prancing Spirit because I didn't think there was a huge amount of early speed and I thought it could sort of control a race. But yeah, at this point I've got sort of, what's the horse's name? Prancing Spirit about $5 and it's $7 right now. So if it's Saturday and we're looking at a relatively fair track and the inside's not completely cast, I'm more than likely going to be back in Prancing Spirit. That's about it.
Sweet as. Let's go to race 7. It's a very good race. Nico, loosen up your vocal cords here because we're going to get you involved. 1,600 meter benchmark 100.
Is he? What's backing here?
St. Lawrence is unbeaten 2-for-2 at Caulfield. He's the $2.70 favorite from Highlights, $5. Jimmy the Bear, the old Winter Warhorse, $5.50. Dashing, $8. Pounding, $9. Wunamek, $10. So a few usual suspects. But Nico, we understand you are pretty keen here. Best bet areas.
Yeah, well, I've only got the one bet at Caulfield. It's St. Lawrence. I think he's immoral. Simple as that. He's 2-from-2 second up. He's 2-from-2 at Caulfield. Proper horse on the up. If there's a little bit of give in the ground, it's only going to help his cause. The form around him is super. Waterford, he should have won the Scone Cup. And I think it was Iron Alistair who ran second. Well, he obviously won last week in Sydney. So, the form's super. I just think he'll beat this lot.
Mm-hmm. Does look the progressive one. Will, were you in a grant or not sure?
Yes, but no. It's like it's a really iffy race for me because I think the rest of them are sort of set in stone, whereas you have a choice to make with St. Lawrence. You could either make him like 320 or 220. And I'm sort of somewhere in the middle and I'm a bit confused. And I don't know what I want to do, but Yeah, if the, again, if I, if the inside's not off, I think I might back. I love that Kiramar's given him 35 days between runs, because they went brutally fast in that was it Scone race? I think it was Scone.
No, it was Rosehill.
Rosehill, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they went really, really fast. Ridiculously fast. I know a star went. On the other end of the spectrum, the highlights race went 30 lengths slow for the class. So the 800 meters, like, complete disgrace. And Craig, I don't know why. I haven't seen it, but I'd like to wager that nothing was said of anything in that ride, because it was a complete disgrace outside of the winner and Jayla Kennedy, who rode the second horse. It backs up, obviously, because it comes out of a track gallop, and the splits say it should have run somewhere near to its peak. It obviously should have won. So it's obviously the danger. And I thought Jimmy the Bear was slightly disappointing last time, but you could, up to his best form, he's sort of there or thereabouts. But I couldn't make him as short as what the market does. So I think the only bet I'll probably have if I bet in this race is St. Lawrence, but I just, it's a price thing. And if I get 320 in $3 in the tracks fair, I'm backing St. Lawrence.
Yep. I reckon we'll get it. I reckon we'll get $3 St. Lawrence, because there are horses on the board here who do have form in better sort of races, Mutamek and the like, but at the weights, 54.5 kilos, I am happy to back St. Lawrence. Draws perfectly in barrier three for Damien Lane. Even if the fence is still a little bit off, I think he's got time to get off the fence. Last start at Rosehill, he was sort of eighth in the run and spotting the leaders 7 lengths at the 600. He came home as strong as anything. He should only improve off that. As Will said, he does have the sort of month break into this, up to 1,600 metres. He's got the Caulfield form on the board. He's got the right weight. And yeah, horses like Jimmy the Bear and Dashing, they probably are just going up and down on the one spot. Jimmy the Bear is pretty solid. He's a good sort of benchmark 90, benchmark 100 sort of horse. But St. Lawrence does look the one who can progress onto better. And I reckon there's a good chance we get $3. So I'm happy to be at St. Lawrence. He's 290
now. So like you're likely to.
Oh, is he? He's 270 tab.
No, he's 290.
So 290 best price.
Yeah, but
I think that's a bit tight.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, if he runs to his second up run last preparation, he just wins and nothing can match him. But you know, like that's his one big peak and he sort of dropped off after it. And you know, like and also there's the other thing, like he after that he went to a really high pressure race behind Deny Knowledge, and then that was it for the rest of the preparation. And you know, like he comes out of a really high pressure race first up, so like, you know, he could race flat for the rest of the preparation. He might need a spell, and which maybe is the reason that Kiramar has given him 35 days. So maybe it's just not a horse that can cope with the high pressure. And
but he went faster that day.
Deny Knowledge.
Then
no, they went really, really quick. Well, I don't know the exact numbers, but all I know is they went stupidly fast last week.
Yeah. So, well, just going by punting form, he went 5.2 fast against Deny Knowledge, and only 2.5 fast for the class on Saturday, even though the leader might have gone faster. So
yeah, okay, I don't remember.
But that's just punting form figures. So anyway, pretty keen. I think we all line up to some degree there. Highlights as a horse we haven't really touched on. It'll probably go forward and be there a long way, but as you said, it was a bit of a jog trot last time around. So
well, should have went forward last week, but didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, moving on.
Yep.
Do you have one in eight? Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do.
All right, race 8, 3-year-old event, 1,200 metres, Pivot City 550 from Betrana 550, Lovely Looking 6, She's All Shenanigans 850, Bonds to Riches 950, and Heuristic $10.
Yeah, I love this race because I hate Pivot City and I hate She's All Shenanigans, and I don't hate Betrana, but I think $6 is short. I took $21 Bonds to Riches. It's obviously not that price anymore, but I have it favorite. I have Bonds to Riches favorite. It's one of those ones where you get like a horse that's the market sort of says is like not in the first couple of chances, but you're like, I thought it should be a favorite. It's one of those ones where I just thought, like, because sometimes when the market goes up and you think, oh shit, I might just be wrong, but like this is one where I think the markers are on this one. I think this one's genuinely favorite. I have it $6.50 favorite. I just don't like She's All Shenanigans. I don't think she's come back as well this preparation. She was awful with All Favors 2 weeks ago at Flemington. Pivot City, I think, is no good. I sort of chased it for a while, but to no avail. Like, it's just like it won that day at Sandown and ran a big number, but it like that had the race completely put on for it. And, you know, outside of that, it's a pretty, like, it just runs to the same number. And if he runs that number, then he's like, what, like a 15s chance, and he's 550. So I am completely against it. And so the other, like, there's a couple of horses. Icarus is one I probably could back. I have it like $7.50. It's $14. Like, it was disappointing last time, but it was drawn on the inside of the track at Flemington, and obviously the outside lanes were favoured, and it sort of went back. And I think the biggest thing out of that is because it was the last race on the meeting, and the market knew that the outside was obviously favoured. Like, that's why there was a massive go for Who Dares on the day. There was a massive go for She's All Shenanigans. And for this horse to start $5 in that race with the market knowing that it was drawn barrier one and the obvious track bias towards the outside barriers, the market obviously has this horse going to a big number, which it did first up. The sectionals were massive. I think $14 is a nice price. I thought it sort of sits midfield, and I really like it. I think $14 is way too big. And the other one I could just have something smaller in as well is Nuts and Bolts, who is coming down in distance, but I think it can sprint well. It's returned very well this preparation. It ran massive splits to beat Air Defense, who I think is the one we were talking about before that TB fucked up at Pakenham. And
could I just jump in there? That is the horse you were saying. And Shane Fleener went to the post race interview, and did you see how much he was fuming?
No, not at all.
He was like trying not to like show how upset he was, and he goes, "Oh, actually, the race caller's got the wrong horse here. Do you want me to swear?" It was Air Defense that won the race.
Yeah.
Anyway. Go back and watch it yourself. It's pretty funny.
and then it went to Sandown and was well supported. It was like, I think it was open like 14s, and ended up starting sevens Betfair. So I think that's the other one I could have someone not. It's drawn wide. I think, yeah, that's where you want to be by the end of the day. So those are the three, I think. Obviously, Betrana's there. It's a really nice horse. I backed it for a considerable amount of money at Ballarat one day. It was a massive go. Yeah, it was one of those ones that the market was just really wrong early. It looks short first up. I thought it's off a long break, and you know, I thought it'd go all the way back, and it's probably a 1400 meter miler. So, I like Bonds to Riches, Icarus, and Nuts and Bolts.
Sweet as. All right. Race 9, 2,000 metre benchmark, 84. Mirazan, 380 from Amberite, 550. Trezetti, $6. I have tentatively backed Mirazan at $4, but I am interested to hear a few opinions. I made this horse my lay of the day last start, and he did get held up there at Flemington, and he's probably a horse who doesn't really appreciate that, because I don't think he's as exactly a turn of foot horse.
No, they sprinted well there. That pace was slow.
Yeah, and he ran the fastest last 200 of the race after being held up, and we know he's got over 3,000 and 2,400 metres back home in France. So I think he looks well-placed here. Amberite won well last start, 550, won't mind any sting out of the track, and Trezetti gets up to 2,000 metres. So I'm interested to hear a few opinions on whether I should be keeping this bet, but I thought $4 did look fair.
Yeah, I thought so. I don't want to. I think you could get him short, but yeah, I wouldn't want to back him right now. I think he might get out a little bit. Maybe you get like 450, 460 on the day.
Okay.
The one I thought was way too big was And maybe, Nick, you can text Jules for me. If Queen Air goes forward, I think it's like 30s is just like completely ridiculous. Because, you know, this is a horse that was sort of spruiked as a fucking Caulfield Cup horse once upon a time.
you probably need a tactics change, though.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If Nico can text Jules, who does the form for the stable, like if they say if Queen Air goes forward, like I could get it real short.
I could genuinely have it like
he'll
one at the Valley.
He'll be on with Garris tomorrow on SEN. So
yeah, but I want the word before everyone else knows it.
They probably won't even talk about this horse though.
Yeah, well, they should because it was really good at Sandown last time. That race went pretty well and it ran some nice splits. So if they roll forward in this horse, fourth up on the backup, it's on the backup. So I assume that's what the plan is. But you know, like if it's if it runs the rating it did at Moonee Valley, beating Somerville by 5 lengths, then it's a complete fucking moral and it's $31. So. You know, I'm not going to price it off that, but I'm inclined to price it a little bit better than what it did last time. And you know, that's like $10, not 30s. Like if it goes back, sure, it's like a 30s chance, but maybe bet like maybe 40s, 50s. But like if it goes forward, which I think it probably will because it's on the backup and Jules isn't stupid, does the form for the stable. Fuck, 30s is a big price.
Yep, well, it is Fred Kersey on, so he's got a bit of a task to.
Yeah, but to Fred Kersey rides a lot for the stable. Like they're helping him out. He's not a bad jockey. I think
he's all right. He got the job done on Tuvalu in the Wongoom. So anyway,
when top I say five jockey, if you listen to Lindsay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeez, that's a bit rich. But
yeah.
When I say tentatively backed punters, I mean I have bet on Bet365, so they do have the option of cashing out. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on Gregor Lemo?
Oh, I think the Maloney.
Like he's building to something. I thought
I thought that just Maloney's rubbed off on him, and the importness of the old trainer's gone, and now because Maloney can't train, that it's no good anymore.
I think he's just one of the most untrustworthy horses on the card. I think he's got talent, but the wheels.
I just think the trainer can't train stays. Well, he obviously can because he's trained he's probably trained a Melbourne Cup winner, but I just don't reckon.
I'll never forgive him for throwing away that race on Stakes Day.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go over to Eagle Farm where there is Group 1 action, rails in the true position. We get away from Shoddy Doomben where you had to be in literally one section of the track. You couldn't be on the fence and you couldn't be on the outside fence.
Shoddy Doomben, we're at Eagle Farm. Isn't like everyone blowing up about how bad the Eagle Farm track is?
I don't think you can be worse than Doomben.
Wasn't I thought I was listening to like something and, or maybe I saw it on Twitter or something. I don't know. But I swear I heard that people were like saying you cannot bet at Eagle Farm. It's a fucking disgrace. The track is weird or whatever. I swear really? It was Eagle Farm.
I probably haven't been paying enough attention to in terms of the last meeting or two, but.
Well, I don't pay attention to Eagle Farm. Maybe I'm wrong, but I swear it was that.
It is a track that has had a lot of problems since they've.
Yeah, well, I know that. So it sort of made sense, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. We'll soon find out. There's a bit of rain scheduled there on Saturday. It's a soft five at the moment, rail true. Prayers that it does race well because this Queensland Carnival, ever since they injected some good money into it, has seen some really good horses come to it. And Saturday is no different with some of the horses out of the Doomben 10,000 backing up again.
Nico, well, it's the good word luck is, playing.
Yeah?
The word is that it's going to be a heavy eight as of Saturday morning. It was about beautiful. 6 or 7 mil this morning, and there's a little bit more to come. And the heavy dew in the morning doesn't, dry off until about midday.
The winter carnival was obviously very good for spring because you know you get it's produced how many big winners of big races in the last sort of 3 to 4 years
I think the spelling up there is just as beneficial in the warmer weather as the racing.
Whatever, being there is a good thing for horses, and and it's, you're seeing it in the results.
Yeah. Well, you see it early. Even the horses that don't. Carnival, those horses that come from Queensland that have that sun on their back, they're that little bit more forward.
You see it all throughout the spring carnival. It's not just early. Like, without a fight, yeah. Caulfield and Melbourne Cup.
Zaki did it a few times. There's been countless examples.
Yeah. But Alligator Blood did it. The Everest horse did it. What's his name?
Brightside Bunny, you mean?
Yeah, whatever.
Shout out to you, Alan. Peace, brother.
I'm sure he's listening.
Alan Degenerate. Let's open the batting. Race one, benchmark 85, 1600 meters. Poison Chalice was the eye-catcher. Over 1200 meters down the straight last start. Is that who you're backing, Nico, the favorite, or are you on another boat?
No, I'm with Poison Chalice. I don't love 1200 to 1600, but Prushka will have him fit enough to take that jump. This is a very moderate race. Like, a lot of these horses go around and race each other all the time. He's got a bit on them, Poison Chalice, so as long as he's handled the trip up and he handles the other way of going, he'll win. Yeah.
You back you Michael
must
D,
like
mate.
This horse. You no, must I like this no. horse to be backing Michael D.
There's a few horses I like up here this weekend, and he's riding, which is not good. It's fraught with danger. But
so what do you if he gets all of them home? What are you doing?
I'll be happy.
You giving him full credit, or what do you think's gonna happen?
I'll wait and tell you after the rides are done and dusted.
It's right. A love hate relationship.
And there's no love involved, mate.
I'm feeling the love. This horse
is a favourite, though, so no doubt he'll slaughter it.
I ended up backing Poison Chalice at Flemington, I think, at 30s late, and was crawling all over them, yeah, as well as...
I'm still on the floor that day that he got beat at Sandown.
When was that? Oh, yeah, Sandown. That's right. Was that Brazen Kingdom that won or something?
No, I think. Yeah, Sandown.
Yeah. Oh, no. It beat Brazen Kingdom. I beat Brazen Kingdom.
Will, would you say Poison Chalice knows where the post is?
He went win.
Oh, shut up, Ben. I thought also, I don't have any opinions. I'm just looking at the ratings. Commodus comes off a pretty good race last time. It's it won well, and it's sort of...
An XV course.
Yeah, it used to race at Sandown all the time. I remember the name and the colours. So yeah. It's drawn one, so I don't know what the track's going to look like, but... But yeah,
that's all good stuff. Let's move on. Race four is a group three over 1800 meters. It's called the Lord Mayor's Cup, and Labin for two races having the exact same name on Saturday. One's at Rosehill, one's at Eagle Farm, one's over 2000 meters, and the other's over 1800 meters. I'm pretty sure, isn't there a Lord Mayor's at, Lord Mayor's Cup, 2000 meters at Rosehill. That can get in the bin. This is a race that, without a fight, won really impressively last year. And immediately after that, I said he'd win the Caulfield Cup. So.
Well done. Sign up to the 6-day punters.
Self-trumpet there, but shock him over. He's a $3.40 favourite. I doubt the Caulfield Cup winner's here. Maybe it's Adelaide River. He's $5. Just Folk, $6.50. Luncey's $10. Sabak, $11. And Territory Express is $12. Nico, a few of the boys own Just Folk, and you are notoriously backing horses that the boys own. So are you backing Just Folk?
Turn it up. That's dead set fucking the truth.
Come on. Back me
they
up.
Just here, happen, they just happened. They just happened to all align in my form.
Turn it up. As that. Fuck off.
Well, it's just how it is.
Yeah. Fair enough, man.
I'm having two bets in this race. I'm backing Shock 'Em Over. I think he's short enough at the moment. I think he'll get back out a little bit. But his win last start was nothing short of outstanding. This is his best test yet, obviously. He's going to race the reverse way of going, but he's a horse that's got a lot of talent, and I think he can definitely take this step. Willow back on is a big tick. He knows his horse very well. And, I think he's probably a deserved favourite, but he's probably a touch short at the moment. Adelaide River's got solid form overseas, but I think he'll want a lot further, and that's what everyone's sort of said about him. The talk was that he was going straight to the Q22, but he's coming here before the Q22, so I don't know if he's a little bit behind and they want to get a little bit more fitness into him. But I can't possibly have him barrier 15, 1800, well short of his best. It's got STI written all over it.
He'll drift.
Oh, he has to. And, I can't sort of work out why he's sort of $5. And I think Just Folk, with Nash going back on, likely to get his preferred surface, he's got to be in the calculations. I don't know if MZ gave him the best ride last start. I'm not going to be too critical on him because MZ's a good rider and he's ridden more Group 1 winners than I have. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought he jumped real well and he sort of took away his biggest advantage in a race that was, like, where there wasn't much speed. So I think Nash going back on is a positive. I think it's a pretty moderate sort of race outside of that. They all sort of take turns. But if Just Folk is in a prominent position and Shock 'Em Over is not out the back trying to pick gaps, I think you can have a solid two-bet play and sort of be not too far away, I don't think.
Yeah. I think when the rain comes, Just Folk, I know I bagged you about backing the Bedge Good Horses and the horses the boys are with, but I think he will shorten it and he does look well placed. I mean, Gav, not to pump up his tyres too much, but he is an absolute gun at finding the right races for the right horses. And he's found another suitable 1800 metre race, didn't nominate for the Doomed Cup, instead comes here, which is a far more winnable race. And yeah, he does look really well placed. 1600 metres, is that a more suitable trip for him? Maybe, but
yeah,
he's going to handle this ground a lot more than others. So he's going to be in it for a very long way. Nash is going to have him somewhere near the speed. I can see why you like him, but yeah, Shock 'Em Over could just be the big knockout horse. He's got group horse written all over him, doesn't he?
Gab's fucking airborne too, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
He's smashing the market.
Oh, man. Anyway. Oh, man.
I thought, just looking at the numbers, Luncey's, Sabak-ish. I thought Lions Roar looks like a massive price to me. Lions Roar particularly, I think. Like, it's drawn one, but the sectionals were nice. And I think Luncey started favouring this race or something last year over without a fight. So, and Just Folk is obviously sort of there or thereabouts. But, you know, like, I think he sort of, like, I'd definitely back him to run top five or something. But whether he has the knockout punch, I think this race will be won with a number that sort of just exceeds what he can do. But I think he's such an honest horse. I think he'll run his number. Like, he can definitely win it. But I would be surprised to see one just get the better of him late.
Yeah. You're right about Lions Roy. He's been an underrated
He's a cracking top four bet.
I'm just going to Shock 'Em Over. Shock 'Em Over looks way under the odds.
He's priced off of potential a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, I know, but I know the sectionals were good last time, but like, he was in the right lanes. He has to get out. Like, that price is way too short, I would have thought. Like, there's lots of horses here that are just like they're exposed horses, but they're at good levels. Like, Luncey's is a good horse. Lions Roar, didn't Lions Roar win that, like, the Five Diamonds or some shit or whatever it was? He won a really big race or something. He won the Rose Hill Guineas, didn't he?
He won the Randwick Guineas, I think, 1600 at a big price.
That's a good horse.
A few years ago, and he's always bobbed up at big odds, and I don't know. He actually does have a big win over Luncey's last prep in SP $2.75, and he was massive in the Scone Cup as well. So, I don't know. Lions Roar, the place, you can probably get $5, isn't a bad bet as well.
Lions Roar and Luncey's are the ones that I'm – like, I've got no idea at all, but I'm just looking at the ratings, and those two, like, stick out, like – dog's balls.
You know what? Yeah. Race 5 is a size produce, 1400 meter group 2 for 2-year-olds. It is the main lead up for the JJ Atkins. I think it's just a watch race because the best horse is broadsiding. He's trialed
drawn like 21.
Absolute lead yet, but draws 21. Almazillo, like, it looks the map horse, the filly, going to position right up there from barrier 4, Craig Williams. Brutal Bowler was awesome last start. And then Angel Capital, I don't know, you can half forgive it. Maybe it's not as good as we first thought, but this is a good race.
They went
slow
in that race.
I don't think
race.
I can be playing.
That the Angel Capital, you know, like, it was probably a little bit flat. It needs further. How far is this? It's 1,400 metres, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what price is Angel Capital?
$10.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Like, you could have something on it. Oh, Almazillo.
Yeah.
Almazillo, yeah. This will be the trendy tip. I can guarantee you, everyone will be on Alm. You listen to the radio, you listen to any podcast, anyone that has sort of any ratings or whatever, any idea will be on Almazillo. It's like, it's the, you know, like, it obviously, like it's the one that'll, like, everyone will find it. It's drawn in. The main other main chances are drawn wide. It ran big splits last time. It comes with a good rating. You know, that's probably like a, I don't know.
It looks the here and now.
Yeah, it'll be, is it been backed early? What price is it?
I think there was a bit of specking, maybe 650 into 550.
No, right. I would have thought it'd be, no, not favorite, because they can't have a favorite with broadsiding in the race, but still.
Broadsiding
really
manages
good
to win this from barrier 21. They won't say which way he goes in the Atkins.
Yeah, just give him the Atkins now. But
yeah,
I think broadsiding, like, I've heard people say, like, broadsiding, like, I guess you probably can't back it because it's going to get back 20 lengths last. But, like, people are bagging it because it was on the back up on, like, a really heavy track. Like, the horse did what it did. Like, it ran all over linebacker and the good 2-year-old form. Like, it belted up the slip. Manal didn't win the slip. The size winner, you know. Like,
size winner, yeah. Oh, there's every chance this is our best sort of staying prospect.
It is. Like at this point, it's
prospect
definitely
going into the 3-year-old season.
But if it gets beat here, like, it's still got to be favourite for the JJ Atkins unless something explodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a genuine buy on the weekend. It's going to get back a long way.
It probably gets scratched.
Nah. Coming to run it. Clear, just a preparation run for the JJ.
True.
But there's also the option of going to the Stradbroke, but I doubt they will. Surely they'll just go
Stratty.
Atkins. Can they do
Stratty. Can they do the Stratty?
Actually, no, they can't. 2-year-olds can't
the
run the Stratty.
2-year-old?
No, they can't run the Stratty. Sorry.
Like 46
I'm getting mixed up. I'm getting mixed up with the Fred Best, the 3-year-old, 1400 meter, Group 3, Race 6. Steffi Magnetica, $3.30. Schwartz, $4.80. Corniche, $6.50. Stepardi's drawn 22, is $9.50. Nico and I are going head to head here.
Ooh. Oh, can I have a wager on which horse Nick's backing here?
Yes.
Can I have my entire bank account on Nick backing Stepardi?
Wow.
I'm actually not.
Wow, what? But
bullshit.
You've lost all your money. He's got two boyfriends in this race and you've picked the wrong one.
What's the other boyfriend? I haven't even looked.
Schwartz.
Ah, true. Yeah. Okay.
All right, this is
it was between those two.
We've almost got to the end of the podcast and Will's lost all of his money.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's one of the two.
22, I don't think.
I didn't see Schwartz in there. If I saw Schwartz, then it was obviously between the two.
A blind bet, and he's lost all his money. Anyway, that's most punters, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been me the last few weeks outside of basketball multis. Basketball multis are keeping me afloat. Steffi Magnetica, I'm backing her.
Sick.
The Doombin 10,000 was an absolute jog fest, but she was only beaten a length and a half against the old horses. I thought that was a good enough run. The margin is flattering because of the pace they went in that race. But you go back to the Surround Stakes where Tropical Squall set a more genuine, even Group 1 sort of tempo and was only beaten a lip there. I think if Tommy Berry can have a little more forward from Barrier 2, then I think she's the one at 1,400. Schwartz is a nice horse, but I just don't think he has proven that he has a ceiling that can match Steffi Magnetica just yet. And I'm happy to be on her. If the rain comes heavily, then it's always a little bit of a concern. But yeah, I think she's the one. I think she's going to get the right run on the map. And yeah, pretty happy to back her. Schwartz and Cornish are the only dangers.
Yeah, I'm happy to be with Schwartz. He's got the right barrier draw to be positive. If he's positive and he's in the sort of first four, well, he's got every possible. The key to him is, well, J-Mac led on him last start, and that's exactly what happened at Flemington. And he's won both times. So I think Jamie on from five is definitely intent. And if she goes forward, well, I'm going to be very happy. So happy to be with him. I love Stepardi. And if the track was to chop out enough and the fence is off and they're coming down the outside, well, I'll definitely have something small on him. But 22 doesn't make it easy at all. He's going to have to go probably right back to last or thereabouts. And yeah, I don't think he can spot him to start and run over the top, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I've got a little bit of breaking news.
Oh.
Carr is committed to Schwartz if he's going to start in the Stradbroke with 50 kilos.
Mm.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Corniche ran a big rating last time and the splits were there to say it could go probably better. It's sort of, I think it had issues or something as a two-year-old and it's always had a lot of ability. Maybe it's just putting it all together. I'm pretty sure it's a Fastnet Rock. I can't check because my computer's shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was a big win last time.
It's probably going to improve at 14. So what price is Corniche?
$650 tab.
Ooh. Oh yeah, Steffi can make Nevigo's favourite. You probably make yeah. About the same price probably. What price does Steffi make Nevigo?
I think she'll get out a bit. She's a touch short now at like 340.
Well, that sounds a little bit short. But like I understand why, but like it just seems a little bit short. Like on paper she's definitely like, you know, like she ran like what, third or fourth to
Where she ran she second run? To Tropical Squall in the surround. Yeah, she's got that fat
fifth
number.
Fifth in the 10,000. So it makes sense on paper, but like, you know, from two, surely she's going to be
She's got 49 or 49 and a half in the Strati.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see which of them go that way. Let's go to the group on the Kingsford Smith Cup over the unique distance of 1,300 metres, won last year by the Everest and Stradbroke champ in Think About It. Not sure if he's going quite as well this time around, even though he has been stepped up and trip hasn't quite worked, but I Wish I Win's $3.90 favorite. In Secret $5.50, Think About It $6.50, Ballon and Patina $6.50, Magic Time $6.50. So three horses at $6.50, and then Espiona $10, Antino $11. I had a all-in bet on I Wish I Win at $4.50. I thought, what are the chances that this horse draws barrier one for the fourth time in five runs? I'm happy to take that risk, and I think he'll draw hopefully middle or outside. What do you know? The punting gods just stick their middle finger up at you and say, F you. We actually had Trent Crebin comment on...
that was funny.
my status about this happening, and he said, I don't know what exactly he was referring to. Maybe it was the fact that how he could draw one five times or four times in the last five runs. And also
what are the chances of that happening?
Yeah. And he said 0.36%.
Yeah. It doesn't that's often happens.
So
first random chance.
I don't know how that happens, but anyway, I'm on I Wish I Win. The inside is a concern. I'm not going to shy away from that, but gets the blinkers on for the first time. There's a chance he is a little bit slow away. We know horses can miss it when they get the blinkers first time. He's only going to be fitter, third up. Luke Nolan, his usual jockey, gets the nod of approval to ride the horse. He has a decision to try and be positive or just flop out of the gates and go around him. I think he's good enough to do both. Hopefully the inside going, if he does shoot up along the inside, isn't too inferior and they all get off the fence. But if he wins last start and beats Ballon and Patina and knows in the Doom of 10,000, then I think we're looking at $2.90. Instead, we've got three $3.90, and you can even get as big as $4.20 out there. So I think it's a good enough bet for the best horse in the race. It is a good race, and he's by no means a good thing, but when you've got horses like In Secret, who's first up, she's $5.50. Think about it. $6.50, he's not going that well. I think the dangers are Balanipatino and Magic Time, who both like the wet, but happy to be on I Wish I Win. Might have savers on Bala and Magic Time just to get the stake back.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not too worried about Barrier 1 with him. If he misses it, that's fine. I sort of hope Luke rides him more to his pattern. I think J-Mac probably rode him a touch closer than what he was used to last start. And he sort of stargazed up the straight a little bit. So that's hence why the blinkers are going on. But I just hope Luke sort of just lets him be where he's comfortable and just go out and around him. An extra 100 metres for him this time is perfect. He's got a brilliant electric turn of foot. Just let him use it.
Like, and his biggest rating win is on a heavy 8 track in a TJ Smith.
Yeah. And J-Mac spoke with Gareth yesterday, and he said, he'll be primed for this week. He goes, he'll just thrive through last start, and he'll be cherry ripe for this week. Because Gareth asked him which of the three Group 1 rides, like, is he most disappointed that he's missing? And he said, I wish I win in a heartbeat.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
I still can't believe Bella beat him. Fucking hell.
What I've stuck up for Bella so many times, backed her at $10, etc. And her two wins have been when she's deep in the prep and the market has just spat her out in the winner's stakes last year and the Doomben 10,000. So there you go.
Hey, why is Autumn Angel in the Derby, not the Oaks?
I don't know exactly why, but
that doesn't make further. Any sense at sure? all.
Oh yeah, it is too. The Queensland Oaks only 2,200.
Yeah, but like the fillies are so bad.
Is the Queensland Oaks worth less as well?
It's 2,200. So yeah, but she's a filly. Like all they want is fucking Group Ones and sending off to.
Oh no, it does say 2,400 now. I reckon it was 22. Maybe when it was at Doomben. Because it was when it did change to Doomben when Eagle Farm was getting resurfaced. Maybe that could be it. It is only worth 700,000 compared to a million here. I'm not exactly sure why, but let's get to the race. Queensland Derby, 2,400 metre Group 1. Autumn Angel, 270. Favourite from Tannhauser, 420. Warmonger's drawn 22. Ouch. Again. He was second in the South Australian Derby, $9. Saban, $12. And you sort of write your own ticket the rest. I've backed Autumn Angel at $4 all in, so I'm set there. Barrier 1, I'm not crazy happy about. I would have preferred.
What price?
I took $4 all in.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm happy that Mark Zara goes on. I think her big win in the ATC Oaks is going to stand her in good stead here. And I think there's every chance that the pace won't be that strong here. And that's what she really relished in Sydney. There was a gap between runs in the Rough Habit and she got a long way back and Tannhauser was a little bit too good. I think he's probably the main danger. The market's got it right, but I'm happy to be on her. She did run second in the Adrian Knox when she carried 61. She was off the track on a heavy 9. That was a monster run. So I'm not worried about ground at all. And I just think she's the one. She's probably a bit tight at the moment. You might get $3, but yeah, I'm happy enough. Autumn Angel on top. Warmonger, does the gate take him out of play again? Potentially, but it's Blake Shin. Yeah, I'm suggesting wait. Don't take 270 right now, but I'm suggesting that she is on top and a bet.
Mm. She's definitely favorite. The Warmonger's been so stiff this prep. How it hasn't won like anything is It's extremely stiff. It should have won the Chairman's and it should have won the Derby. Oh, I don't know if it should have won the Derby, but no, it shouldn't have won the Derby. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, it might have won the Derby if it drew inside, but you know, like if it drew inside, it was well in this, but it's probably gonna have to go back to last and it's gonna be ugly. At least Autumn Angel can be sort of forward of midfield, and that's all you need to be really. They found across the track at this track.
They'll be 10 across the track at the 400.
Yeah, so it'll get a crack at them. I thought I don't have any thoughts in this race, but Warrior the Warrior ran nice splits I can see in this in the lead up to this race. It's 60s. It's by Saxon Warrior, so I assume it's just going to get better over ground and you know that sort of stuff. Probably went too fast in the Derby, so maybe you can improve. Sabin, I can see, he's made the trip up. It's been backed early, which is makes a lot of sense because it was way too far back at Flemington and run some big splits. And I think it's probably the big improver, but. You know, like it's got to improve a lot to get to where, Autumn Angel's level. Like there's a massive tail to this field. There's a lot of bad horses here, so yeah.
That's every Oaks and Derby, I guess.
Yeah, this Son of Deck thing. It wasn't this meant to be good. I remember hearing something about it. I think it won really well or something.
It Son pissed in a midway.
Yeah, that's right. Massive splits. Name. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, maybe that's got it. Oh, it's drawn 21. It's going to go back to last and be given no chance. So,
Nick, yeah. Any opinion?
Yeah, I'm with Autumn Angel. I think she's just a bit too good for him, I think. She's got the right form. This is probably easier than the Oaks, I would have thought. Like, she beat two proper fillies there, and they'd be short. Short here. Tannhauser, he was good last start, but that was his race.
Perfect run.
And he loses J-Mac. I know he's got Nash, strong, aggressive rider, but yeah, I still think J-Mac got the best out of him. Yeah, Warmonger, he's stiff. I still can't believe he didn't beat fucking Air Assault. That was crook. That was three back. Absolutely sickening. And yeah,
I can't believe Air Assault started $26.
22 makes it tough, but hey.
I was just saying, I couldn't believe Air Assault subsequently started like $26 in the Derby. I know it was going up.
Fell into third or something, didn't
he? Fell into third. I'm sure a lot of people would have had a nice each way ticket.
I know he's got barrier 22, but you see this time and time again. Shinny on these horses. Is this Shinny first time on Warmonger?
It's had Damien Lane on for the whole time, so probably, yeah.
I think it might be.
You see this time and time again. Shinny on first time on these horses. He just somehow gets them to be more positive and more prominent, and they run lengths better. So if he can somehow get him more forward from 22, you know, whether he's sort of midfield three or four wide running on somehow. You just never know.
Yeah. But, no, it's gotta be a chance.
There's a horse that Mick Guerin was kicking up for. If it was wet on a place heavy basis, was number 17, Moonlight Magic. She's a real sort of wet tracker. She's not gifted with lots of class, but he said she'll stay all day and she loves a wet track. So he said if it's a wet track, he was leaning towards Moonlight Magic. And if it was dry, he was leaning towards First Innings, which won really well at, I think it was Ipswich, was it? Yeah. That was in the Derby lead up. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Coeur Volant's going around in the last. I think she's definitely a watch. Not sure if I'll be betting, but yeah, she was monstrous. First up, last preparation, winning at the Valley, and I don't think she's a mile. She went to the 1,000 guineas and ran okay, but I think she's more a 1,400 meter horse with a turn of foot. So she's one to watch out for, no doubt. But it looks,
God bless her.
Looks a very open race. Yep, 50-1 that night. Anyway,
she's got a nom in the Stradbroke.
Yeah, right. That might be a touch out of her depth.
She's not. Just go towards a Tats TR, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have thought. It is a race that Big Mike won with Tafane in those colours. So there you go.
She's a little bit better than that.
She's better than Tafane.
No, Tafane's a little bit better than
her. I was going to say. Nico, take us to Sunday. I'm going to put you on the timer for four minutes you've got. 5 minutes to talk about your jumpers. Ready, set, go.
Well, the Australian Steeplechase is a disgusting race. I don't want to have any part of the Grand Annual Runners, just like the other week.
You see Stern Idols running in the Sandown Cup? What's going on there?
Don't get me started on why he's not in this race. I didn't even know that he was nommed in the Sandown Cup. I had a look at the noms the other day and I thought, beautiful. Two horses, two good things on Sunday. Stern will just win the steeple. And I'll get to the next one in a minute. But Ballix One's a horse that's got... He's probably the best horse in this race by a few lengths. But he's a hard horse to catch. And I sort of don't want to have a bar of any of this sort of Grand Annual form. Because you see it time and time again. Horses post the Grand Annual just don't have the same zip in their legs. Count Zero is laughable at $3.70 and $1.40. I could entertain laying him the place. But this horse mixes his form more than Bot mixes his coffee. And, like, I just cannot fathom how he's $3.70.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
If I was to have a spec in the race, it would probably be riding high. I know he's not going super, but is a horse that's won this race before, I believe, off the top of my head. And this was sort of the set plan for him to run well here at Sandown, slightly better going. He doesn't love a wet track. And, yeah, he's the one that hasn't gone to the annual. So he could be the one. But, yeah, he also hasn't won in a long time. So, yeah, sort of no real firm opinion there. Just have to watch the market and watch the watch list come Sunday. Then we go to race 4, which is a Kraken race, the 120 hurdle. I'm really happy to be with number 2, Affluential. I opposed him at the Bull on the last day, and I watched the race unfold, and I said, "You're a fucking idiot. Why'd you do that?" He's had a recent run on the flat since and absolutely bolted in. Won by 4.8, could have won by 48. He's just a very sort of progressive horse. For a horse that took 13 starts to win his maiden, he's won his next four on end. So he's got the winning feeling. And like he could be the best hurdler in the caper by the end of this season. Like, if there was a market for the Gullywood next year, he'd be favourite, I reckon.
Imagine how good Very Elegant would have been over the jumps.
Yeah, well, she just won a Melbourne Cup instead.
No, they should have put her in the Briley.
Anyway, I think he'll be very hard to beat. He's got two solid horses that are going to give him a race, like Alec Ahan won by a good space at Warrnambool and doing it in good time. Gets 2 kilos off him here. He's got solid ability and there's always been sort of big raps on him. And Pure Deal, like, I know he sort of mixes his form a little bit, but he ran super at Pakenham behind Elementary, which has turned out to be really good form. He started $6.50. in the Gullywood before falling. You've got to respect the SP from last start because it's the most invested race of the whole season, especially over the hurdles, and there was enough smart judges out there that pushed him into $6.50. I thought it was too short on the day personally, but you've still got to respect it, I think.
What's the timer up, Ernie?
So I'm happy to be with Affluential. I thought sort of even money or 20. So was good betting. And we're getting close to $3. So I think he's probably close to Alvesan-like opportunities. Yeah, like he's one of the better bets that I'm going to see for the rest of the season, I think. I think $3.10, we'll look back on it after Saturday and go, that was a very, very nice price. They've taken the soft option going here, win the 120, and then go to features after that. Then we go to the Australian hurdle. It's a very competitive race. It's pretty even, I think. No $12 for Nico and the fans of Chains of Honour this time round, but I think he's got to be the horse to beat again. I've always had a good opinion of him, and he lived up to those raps last start for me, and I can't see why he won't go on with it again here. Out and Dreaming one last start, beating Bazzini and another horse off the top of my head that we backed. But he's also a horse that's mixed his form a little bit of late, but he's also come back from an injury, so it might have taken him a little bit longer to get back. So it's a fairly even race. I think the one that's probably short in the market is Polky Arm. He overachieved last start in the Gallywood. I don't think he's that super at the caper, and I'm very frustrated that he scratched against Will John today, because Will John would have absolutely spanked him. But yeah, so it's a pretty even race. I think it's competitive enough, and I need to do a little bit more research. But just stay tuned on Sunday, and I think we can have a couple of bets and hopefully continue our good little run.
Beautiful. Will, have you got anything around the grounds?
Nah, but there was that one at Sydney. Moment of weakness, and I was looking at Sydney, and that 2-year-old looks real good.
Race one,
no opinion in the Sandown Cup, but
race two, Emirati. I thought Let's Be Frank Baby was like probably like an evens chance, but it seems kind of gross. I don't know. I'm not. They went really slow in the Ramsden, so and that
where's that Purcell horse? Farag.
Farag.
Where is it?
Yeah. Don't know. Yeah.
Still gonna run a good race.
Yeah. What? I think I had him. Sorry.
54 kilos, barrier one. He's a 3,000 meter winner at Sandown. He'll run a solid race.
That form's a little bit off the Ramsden, so. But you know, those runs where he is running at Sandown, those are prep runs for, those are prep runs for jumping. So like, you know, he's had the stable obviously think he's going well enough to run in these races, and like this isn't just a prep run for a jumps race. This is like he is fit, so he might be able to run a rating that, you know, is better than what he has before.
It's interesting that he's come here. I sort of can't work it out.
He probably just sets a really strong pace and tries to just outstay them, I guess. That's probably the game plan. And that like on form, like Let's Be Frank Baby, I probably think is an evens chance, but I'm not 100% sold she'll stay 2 miles in a really strong young race, because they did go really slowly in that Ramsden. She's probably my favourite horse at the moment. I really like her.
So rogue.
No, it's not rogue. She's such a cool horse. She's run the same number 3 times in a row. It's just, you know.
And she hasn't won.
She did win. I backed her Superstar. 2 starts ago.
1 out of 3.
Yes. But, yeah, it's a pretty gross race. Like, I think Double Cherry is no good. Probably Gap It. What price is it? It's right.
17th.
Oh, it's 17s. I thought it was like $9. Strawberry Rock is there or thereabouts. Farrago, if it runs to form two back, but that was the peak run of the prep.
He's promised a lot and delivered not much. This prep Farrago.
Yeah, maybe Stern Idol. Maybe there's the angle that Stern Idol is, you know, his flat runs have been prep runs towards a jump race, and now he's fit, and now he's going to roll up on pace. And
to me, you know, I think
there's an angle there. I kind of think, but you know, like. It's not he's an angle here because they think
he can win, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, they're all there because they think they can win.
No, but Stern could have gone to the chase.
Yeah, but he would have got like 500 kilos, wouldn't he?
Well, doesn't matter. He would have been given him 8 kilos and beat him by 8 lengths.
Yeah, but they probably just want to keep his rating down, I guess. Or not his rating. They don't want to run him with 80 kilos, is what I assume.
It's up to the handicapper. If they keep smashing his rating, they simply just won't run.
They'll probably just take him to England or something then, or just retire him because there's nothing else they can do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. There's a lot of good international racing around, and we've obviously got...
Where?
The Oaks.
Oh, the Derby.
Derby. Ylang is $2.80 favorite for Aidan O'Brien in the Oaks, and he's also got City of Troy looking to bounce back after
a disappointing run. Yeah, that seems gross, doesn't it?
Does seem a bit gross. $4.50 equal favorite, but I won't be betting there. It's taken the whole of the podcast, but my best bet of the entire weekend comes up internationally tomorrow night in the Coronation Cup. So you'll be listening to this as in tonight if you're listening to this on Friday. Emily Upjohn just wins the Coronation Cup. She bolted in with the race last year, smashing Westover. Her run in Dubai wasn't too bad behind Rebel's Romance. It was a bit of a weird race where those who got back and run on just had no chance.
They went and slow the horse, there.
Yeah, and the horse holding up the market percentage here is Luxembourg at $4.50, who's proven his last couple of starts. He's just not going any good.
He's a slug.
Emily Upjohn is one of the world's best stayers. This is a horse who ran second, beaten only half a length by Paddington at 2,000 metres when Paddington was going just about at his best. And she won this race easily last year, and she's won on soft ground before, which there is soft ground forecast for Saturday. So,
I think that Feed the Flame thing goes pretty good too.
Yeah, it's probably the danger. It's $5. I think you can completely gap Luxembourg. It's got no chance at $4.50. Feed the Flame is the danger. But Emily Upjohn, I think you can mark her $1.70. She's $2.10. You can have a significant bet on her. Maybe she's not going quite as well as she was last year, but I don't think she needs to be in this only. It's only a field of five. So very, very keen. She is, as I said, one of the best 2,400-meter horses in the world, and I think she can win again tomorrow night.
That Feed the Flame beat Adelaide River, who's obviously running in Australia now, the Grand Prix de Paris.
Yeah.
Over a mile and a half.
Yep.
It started
$14
in Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah. And the other race is on Sunday, the Yasuda Kinnan 1600-meter Group 1 in Japan, and we see a few Hong Kong Titans go over. We've backed Romantic Warrior at the six-day racing at $5. I think that's a really good price. Even though he's won 8 times at 2,000 metres, it's obviously his pet trip, and back to the mile isn't exactly ideal, but we haven't seen $5 about this horse since he beat California Spangle in the first leg of the four-year-old series, the Hong Kong Classic Mile, back in January of 2022. That's the last time we saw $5 about Romantic Warrior. We've got it this Sunday. I'm happy to take it. He's into about $4 now. It still looks a decent enough price. Voyage Bubble is the other Hong Kong horse at $11. Runs second to Golden 60 on International Day. And I honestly think he's a winning chance as well. So I know I've got my Hong Kong cap on. I'm not denying that. There's no doubt about it. But I'm happy to back two Hong Kong horses. The Japanese Brigade Soul Rush is the favorite, probably deserving favorite, but still yet to win a Group 1. $3.50. He was a bit unlucky last start. And Namur has a fair degree of talent herself, but she's a get back run on horse who usually needs a few things to go her way. So Japanese have home soil, home turf advantage, but if this was in Hong Kong, Romantic Warrior would be probably $2.20, $2.40, and Voyage Bubble would be $6. Instead, it's in Japan, you get $5 and $11. So I'm happy to be on both of them. I think they're a good chance, and the fact that they're going to go fast, if Romantic Warrior draws a gate and can stay within the reach, then I think he's as good a chance as any. All right, go to the Cox Plate champ. Backlay Prey, anyone?
Drew is my best bet. I don't know what my lay is, and Bonds to Riches is my best
value. Nico?
Best bet would be probably I Wish I Win and St. Lawrence. Lay would be Count Zero the Place on Sunday. And my Prey would probably be maybe Gregor Lemo. I don't really have a sort of value roughie just yet off the top of my head, but I do have a futures bet.
I'll
touch on that at the end.
So this is the end.
Put a little plug.
No, there's still questions, bot.
Oh.
I need to put a little plug in at the end. I'll put a futures bet and a plug.
All right, my best bet is Emily Upjohn. She goes around race 3 Epsom on Friday night, but it's just when midnight ticks over, so it's technically Saturday.
You going to stay and watch it?
Yeah, I'll still be awake by then. My lay, I agree with Nico. Count Zero, even though he won me a good amount in the quaddy at Warrnambool, I don't think he'll run top three.
Can't even believe you had him in there.
Yeah, it was only because he won the Jericho.
What a world. He was getting beaten fucking chase races at Caster and Hamilton. Fuck.
I think it's a bit lazy, but you could probably lay broadsiding, but I don't know, $4 isn't really a good lay for him. And each way I don't really have too much as yet. But follow the app and I might have something. Add a bit of value. Shards in on Sunday. We still have to wait for prices, but there's some good group racing there. All right,
what's RD asking us this time?
Let's go through the questions. Ginger Nuts, not sure if it's been asked, but if Bot was a horse, would he be a colt or a gelding? Definitely been asked. And does he have any fishing tips? Cheers. What's this fishing tips? Yeah.
No, I don't have any fishing tips. I went fishing once with my grandpa, but no.
Colt or a gelding?
Well, my two best mates are still intact, so.
Yeah, easy answer. All right. Ryan Deeth, there is a plethora of different questions here.
Oh, I want to go to bed.
It's currently 11:27 p.m. Oh.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. You owe us one, Nick. Big time.
Deeth, I turned up. That's Owen, yeah.
But fuck you. Work with Mrs. Caluzzi. In your opinion, does Ben deserve her? It's a question. All right, Splinters.
Wait, was that for me?
That was a question for you. Bot, you work with Mrs. Caluzzi. In your opinion, does
Ben
deserve
it? Oh, I thought that was
a
question for you. Oh, no. Fucking, I don't know.
That's shit. Leo. How does one shit in a urinal? That was Tice. Tice, best on ground or worst off ground, however you want to say
it.
It
doesn't surprise anyone.
Yeah, that is wretched stuff anyway. Nico, what happened to Duke of Bedford? You're only as good as your last win. Yeah, Nico, has Duke of Bedford finished yet? Just sticking the sword in. Can you see you next Tuesdays? Give us a Melbourne quaddie each week, please.
No. Oh.
The podcast will go for 2 hours. I don't know. We'll send one into the chat, maybe. Will, give us an imaginary quaddie, please. Ben, sure. Will you do a 1 cent for every follower challenge on Instagram? No. I did not want to put a target on my back. I actually don't mind some of the, like, the Benny Scarf stuff. Like, it's a bit of entertainment, but, gee, he gets his head ripped off. It's pretty funny to observe. Ben, does Liz still love you even though you're only profitable 3 months of the year? This is somewhat true. Spring is definitely my strength if I have one. But RD, I'm just going to stick the middle finger up at you. We've been flying with the basketball multis and you haven't been backing them at all. So it's your own fault. We're backing like $3 basketball multis for points and they're hitting regularly. Will, Euroa is pretty dry at the moment. You agree?
I've been there in a while, mate.
Nick, do you mow lawns during a drought?
Yes.
Stu says, should I get a swastika tattoo?
What? Oh, that's enough. That's enough of podcasting.
Stu, if that, anyway, if Bella beats me again, what should my punishment be? No head shave. I reckon you have to go to Morphville and run alongside the fence line and race the horses, and you have to be in shot of camera. That's your punishment. If Bella Nipotina beats, I wish I win. Cam Nixon, Benny, out of 10, how addicted to NBA playoff multis are you? Oh, 9. I'm pretty addicted. They're hitting often because, as I said, the starters are staying on the court a lot longer, and we've had lots of close games and lots of shootouts. So each team is scoring 110 points a game or over 100 points a game. And you're getting these multis where you only need a combined total of 50 to 60 points. And all you're doing is backing players to get their average. And you're getting like $2.50, $2.40. So it's pretty good. Easy so, yes, game. I am addicted. Ryan Deeth, why did you dog the boys and rock up late for the pod, Nick? Yeah, genuine question. Genuine question.
Fuck off, buddy.
All right. Let's wrap up the podcast there. Oh. I am not getting to sleep before midnight. But you know what, Nick? It was fantastic to have you back.
Well, that's okay. If you want a little bit more of me, you can tune in on Saturday to the Little Birdie YouTube. I'm co-hosting with Scoot, the director of Little Birdie. They reached out to me last week and wanted to do a little bit of stuff. So, 11:30 Saturday. I'll share it on all my socials and stuff. But basically, it's a betting tournament for professional sort of syndicates and teams for this week and Stradbroke Day. Tune in.
Have they given you somewhere nice to stay, or have you done that yourself?
I can't disclose my contract. I haven't signed the dotted line yet, but
A little bit tells me that Nico's got the penthouse.
No, I don't have the penthouse.
They put him up in a nice room and he's taking the missus out for dinner. Beautiful. How good's that? All right. Let's wrap up the podcast there. As we've found out, Nico's little birdieing and this, that. He's too cool to rock up at 9 p.m. So we wish him the best on Saturday. Genuinely do. Good luck, mate. And we wish the punters good luck this weekend. It's been a bit of a marathon and we're almost ticking over to midnight, but we hope you enjoy that. We'll see you back here next week, where we will have the lovely Olivia Cold on to speak all things Royal Ascot. Looking forward to it. This is not to get confused. This one's for you. Baby, you my anything. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big. Bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything. Other hoes ain't never on it. I want this forever. I swear I could spend whatever on it. Cause she hold me down every time I hit up. When I get right, I promise that we gon' live it up. She made me beg for it. And I say the same thing every single time. I say, you the fucking best. You the fucking best. You the fucking best. You the fucking best. You the best I ever had. Best I ever had. Best I ever had. Best I ever had. I say, you the fucking best. Oh, you got a roommate. Call me when there's no one there. Put the key under the mat and you know I be over there. I be over there. Shout it, I be over there. I be hitting all the spots that you
even had the ass twice. You can have my heart or we can share it like the last slice. Always felt like you were so accustomed to the fast life. Have a nigga thinking that he met you in a past life. Sweatpants, hair tied, chilling with no makeup on. That's when you're the prettiest. I hope that you don't take it wrong. You don't even trip with friends and you ain't bringing Drake along. You know that I'm working, I'll be there soon as I make it home. Is she impatient in my waiting room? Never pay attention to the rumors and what they assume. And until them girls prove it, I'm the one that never get confused with. Cause baby, you my everything. You all I ever wanted. We can do it real big. Bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything. Other hoes ain't never on it. I want this forever. I swear I could spend whatever on it. But she hold me down every time I get up. When I get right, I promise that we gon' live it up. She made me wait for it till she give it up. And I say the same.